Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Buddy of mine, I know a buddy of a lot of yours, I went fishing several years ago with Don Martin, and we went to a friend's pond who had a ton of catfish that he needed thinned out from this particular pond. And we went, and there was a couple huge ones that would just turn on the, and they were so finicky. I was doing everything I could, and Don was just going for the small ones, and he was just pulling them out just left or right, left or right. And I'd lay stink bait right on the nose of one of these big monsters, and he just push it away. And so I switched to worms, and he just push it away. So I finally went to Farm and Home and bought a fishing arrow and tied a string to it and waited till it went up and bam, you can hit the little thing. So Don caught the bait while I got that big old monster, in there. And what was funny is the first couple of times that I tried to hit him, you know, I was aiming and I'd see him and I'd shoot and I mean, I was like dead on and I would miss him by like a full foot. And I was like, what's going on here? I didn't realize that there's kind of a distorted image. When you're looking down in water, it's not the same way. So I took a stick and I began to shove a stick down and realize how different it was. And once I saw how my perception was one thing, but reality was something different, I could adjust a few things. And there you go. Your master survivor here. Today's lesson is going to talk about how God wants to correct some of our distorted views. And we can get distorted views. It's very, very, very easy to get some distorted views. And we're going to see some as we kind of journey through the Gospel of Mark. We've been systematically going through. If you haven't been with us, please go online and you can catch up with us. Mark 8, and we're going to start at verse 27 through 30. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Now, right there, it's like you're going to the pond and we're looking in and we're going to get this view. And he's interested to say, you know, what is this view that people are saying? Who do people say that I am? Why is that important? Well, first of all, again, our general principle, an omniscient, an all-knowing God does not ask questions to gain information. Okay? So if Jesus, who already knows everything that everyone's thinking, why would he pose a question? It's not that he's trying to gain information. It's he's trying to get you to understand. I need you to understand, what is everyone saying about me? Now, why is that pertinent to us? Because a lot of people, especially right now, I've read some things just recently that just make my skin crawl about individuals trying to say, well, this is what the church really is, that go 100% contrary to Scripture. Even people who are talking about Christ and say, that, you know, we're trying to, in this new wonderful pop culture that everyone is trying to embrace, we've embraced some ideas that are just flat out against Scripture. And so Jesus is making this point of saying, you need to understand what the world says about me. Because what the world says about me is one thing. So, gang, we need to be wary of that. And so they begin to respond, going on here in verse 28. And they told him, John the Baptist. By the way, is Jesus John the Baptist? So they had an incorrect perception. Is John the Baptist a bad guy? No, he's a great guy. He dresses weird. He's got a weird diet. You know, I kind of like John. I kind of hang with him. Okay, and others say, Elijah. Is Jesus Elijah? No, he's not. Is Elijah a bad guy? No. There are some thoughts, there are some ideas about who God is that are floating around right now in our society that aren't bad thoughts, but they're incorrect thoughts. They are incorrect thoughts. You know, this whole idea of, oh, well, God just loves me just the way I am. You're correct. God does love me. The scripture tells us, for God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So does Jesus love sinners? Does Jesus want Christians then to continue in sin? No, because he tells us also, why do you say you love me and don't do what I say? So we have some very, very interesting thoughts. I was had a troubling conversation with someone who I was witnessing to lately, and I was trying to explain grace and trying to explain the transition that happens in our walk with Christ. And it was like, well, no, I like the grace part, but I'm not into the holiness part. So wait, help me get that figured out. It's like, I like the fact that Jesus just wipes all my sin away and then I can do whatever I want. And I'm like, well, then you don't get the love part, because if you love him, you'll want to do what he wants you to do, correct? Well, I don't know about that. You see, this is a dangerous thing, guys. And just like Jesus is coming to his disciples and saying, look, I want you to know. I want to know. I'm going to ask you this question. I already know it, but you need to know it. Who do people say I am? I'm coming to you today, and I'm saying, the church family, who does the world say Christ is today? What does the world say the church is today? Because maybe, just maybe, there are some ideas that are good ideas. They're not bad ideas, but they're not correct ideas. And where do we get our correct ideas of who God is? The good news is, God lets us know these things. So continuing on, he says, John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, now here's where the rubber meets the road. Who do you say that I am? To which Peter answered, you are the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. You see, this is some amazing things. And again, there's some thoughts about God. There's some thoughts about Jesus. You know, people around, if we ask, what are some facts about Jesus? I bet people would throw out some very poorly formulated facts. Newsflash, Jesus' birthday is not December 25th. What? What do you mean? What do you mean it's not December? It's not. It's not. I mean, if we want to find out why do people celebrate, you know, why did they assign that day? It was an effort to try to spiritualize a pagan holiday. That's a sermon for another time, because some of you are like, wait a minute, wait. Do not touch that, okay? You messed with Easter a few years ago. Don't mess with that. We'll talk about it later, okay? There's some other things. You know, people say, you know, our famous pictures of Jesus. We have this wonderful, wonderful picture of a white Jesus. Oh, no. I remember the first time going into a black church in South Chicago, and I walked in, and there's a picture on the altar, and it was a nice African-American Jesus. I thought, well, that's wrong. And I thought, you know what? There's some images that I have that are actually quite incorrect. He's Middle Eastern, okay? Don't be, like, getting mad at me. We have some ideas, and we have some thoughts that we roll around in our mind, and it's interesting if we find out where are they formulated. Some people have a religious view of church. I remember as a little kid, I was like, oh yeah, that's a cool building. Well, that's where God lives. And I get that concept. That's pretty cool. That's a good concept. But where does God live? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay. God wants to make his dwelling place with man. Okay. He wants to come and to tabernacle, if it would, with us. And that's what he was showing us through Jesus Christ. So currently we have this crisis in the church, because there's this view that's mixed around with pop culture. And so my first point for you today is, there are many images of Christ that are not correct. There are many images of Christ that are not correct. In fact, they are not accurate at all. And some may be good, and some may even be religious in nature, but they're not accurate. I don't know how long you have, but I don't want to anger anybody today, but there's a whole lot of religious things that we think about Christ that aren't right. You know, we just came out of, especially when we look at these high service times. You know, sometime we'll have a conversation. Why do they call it Easter? I don't see Easter. Again, we can have a conversation about that. Why do we have different things? Why are different things done? Why is there something called Lent? You know, where's that in Scripture? Where are they? Again, we can go through all of these pieces, and they are very good for us to do. And a lot of these, though, however, were taken, and they were a spiritual thought that was applied over a pagan principle to try to spiritualize or add God to something. If I try to throw God on top of something that's not God, it's still inaccurate. Are you mad or glad? I got like all kinds of looks here today. All right. Just roll with me here, because my purpose in this message is not to offend. My purpose in this message is that we would have a clearer understanding of this awesome, wonderful Savior who came to earth to offer us a relationship with Him. So we need to be aware of the worldly influences that are around us. And some of these worldly influences have tried to infiltrate the church. We need to allow God's Spirit to reveal who Jesus is to us. That's the important thing. So I remember going outside, and I used to see inchworms and things. There's a picture here. So what is that? Right, it's a caterpillar, right? It moves earth, right? That's a different caterpillar. Okay. I used to look at these things. I thought they were worms. I thought they were grubs. But I looked at this, and if we say that, that's a caterpillar. I always want to say cattle pitter. My niece always said cattle pitter, and that's always now stuck with me. So no, it's a caterpillar. And I have to think about it. It's a caterpillar. I just want you to hold on to that for a little while. Okay. Mark chapter 8, we're moving on, verses 31 through 33. So Jesus has this time where he's asking them, who do people say I am? And then he goes on, he says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be what, church? Killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Is this good news or bad news? Well, since he's fulfilling prophetic scripture, all this stuff is fulfilling what the Messiah is going to come to do. This is good news. But because the apostles, of whom Peter just had the right confession, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can say the right thing and not have it in your heart. You can say the right thing and kind of be missed, because look what Peter says next. He says, look, and Peter took him. Now I want you to think about this. He said this to him plainly, 32, and Peter took him aside and began to what? So Peter is rebuking Jesus. Does anybody see a problem with this? Am I the only person who says, you just said a few seconds ago, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and now you're saying, hey, you're not going to die, you're not going to be killed, you're not going to rise again, but turning and seeing his disciples, here's what Jesus said to that. No. He rebuked Peter and said to him, wow, get behind me. So who is the author of misinformation about Jesus? So when I say, look, who do people say that I am? You need to understand, my church family, you need to understand, this is a sober, sober moment. Everyone needs to tune in and get that. There are some thoughts about God that are good thoughts, but they're not right thoughts. There are some thoughts about Jesus that are good, warm, fuzzy thoughts. They make you feel great. They may even seem to add up, but they're not correct. Misinformation about Christ comes from Satan, and is part of what Satan tries to do. He rebuked Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. So this is a pretty major thing. When we look from other gospel accounts, we can see that Jesus, in this interaction with Peter, when he declares that you're the Christ, he says, yes. He said, and flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. It was the Spirit, okay? So my second point for us all today, it's an important point for us to grab a hold, is it is easy to get a distorted view of what Christ does. It is a very, very easy thing for us to get a distorted view. The world distorts it, just like looking down. Boy, it looks like it adds up, and then you stick your hand in there, and you miss the mark. You get ready to shoot. It doesn't line up. Your view is distorted. The world tries to distort it. And because God's plans are often not our plans. I have often said that I think that God should do this or that. Am I the only person in the room who thinks that they should tell God what that God should do? I mean, because tragedy hits or trouble hits, and immediately I know what God should do. God, take it away. This obstacle that's facing me, God, get him, God. Sick him. Because after all, that's what God is. I got a game coming up, or I got a race coming up, or I have this event coming up, and if I pray hard enough and I live a good enough life, I'll win the state championship because that's what God wants. After all, God loves winners and tolerates losers. Where in the world did that theology come from? Seriously, where in the world did that theology come from? And then we misquote things like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That is talking about enduring suffering, gang. And so we have this idea, this distorted view of who, and the fact is that God's plans are often not our plans. And the Apostle Peter, who gets it one second and struggles the next, gives us a good idea that sometimes we get it and sometimes we don't. Can I get an amen to that? The more that I know about God, the more I know that I need to know more about God. The more time that I walk with Christ, the more I'm convinced that I need to walk more with Christ. Our plans are often made by setting our minds on the things of man rather than the things of God. I'm sad that I see people endure spiritual crisis when events play out on this world, when your team doesn't win and they feel a spiritual crisis. You know, oh Lord, help me get a new car. Okay, I get it. You know, it's a legitimate need. That's great. Pray for that. But the bottom line is this. What is God more concerned with? Your car or your soul? Seriously. The car. No. No, obviously we get that. Dear Lord, help me pass the test that I didn't study for. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth. That's why you came, Lord, right? My brothers and sisters in Christ, I think it's very important for us to understand that some key elements follow through. Jesus' example was that he came on earth to do the will of the Father. And when we really understand it, we are placed on this earth to do the same thing, the will of the Father. And that's how we know we begin to grow. Okay, let's keep going on. So the next thing that happens here in verse 34, and he called to him the crowd with his disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, you see how this is lining up? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. By the way, Jesus was just about to do this. He's not just one who says it. He says it and he demonstrates it for us. For whosoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Goes right along with our communion, with our offering devotion today. For what can a man give in return for his life? Or whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. There's a whole lot there. But we need to understand that we need to be all about who Christ is and what Christ does. Those things have an impact on our actions, church. Who Christ is and what Christ does has an impact on our actions. Verse 9 there, he says, and he said to them, truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. Those folks who want to demonstrate a gospel that says that I get saved, but I do not change, that's an inaccurate understanding. Jesus came that we can be born again As you've heard me say 10,000 times, and I will say it 10,001, Jesus didn't come so that we can add religion to our sin. He came that we can be born again and have a relationship with Him. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Now, going back to this caterpillar. Back to this caterpillar here. Mark chapter 9, and we're going to wrap up. This is my third point here today. But we see something powerful happen because Jesus up to this time has started saying, hey, look, who do people say that I am? And he's saying, look, you know, you need to understand what the world is. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the chance to respond. And now I'm going to show you something. So everybody, fasten your seatbelts. Just grab your little seatbelt and lock it in because we're going to go over 65 miles an hour. But come on, fasten your seatbelt. Are you ready? Okay. Cause I'm going to mess with a few people here today. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, okay, the one who's already had this great confession, but still doesn't get it, James and John, and he led them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Now look what it says. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. That's pretty cool right there. Is that something happens here, you know, the power of God to make something clean far exceeds the ability of man. You can try to do as many actions, but you can't clean yourself up. Only God can clean you up. And there appeared with them, and this has always messed with me, Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Okay, this is pretty cool. And Peter said to Jesus, first of all, why is he talking? So you're here. I'm going to show it to you. Let me read it so you can see it. And Peter said to him, Rabbi, it's good that we should be here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And verse 6 tells us why he said what he said. For he didn't know what to say. Then shut up! Newsflash, if you don't know what to say, shut up. Just be quiet. You don't need to say anything. In our pre-marriage conversations, one of the biggest things that we try to tell people, and this works for everybody, is when you're talking with somebody, don't think of what you're going to say next. Because when you're thinking of what you're going to say next, you are not fully listening. Listen. And that's the thing that we get in arguments because we don't listen to comprehend what the other person's saying. We listen so that we can respond. Now, I've said some good things today, but people are smiling more about that than any of the other stuff. What's wrong with you? We were listening, Pastor. Oh, I get you. Great. All right. Well, that was very wonderful. That was free. That was free marital counseling for everybody today. Okay. And don't nudge your spouse. He was talking to you. No, I wasn't. I was talking to everybody. I was talking to me, actually. So he says, look, Rabbi, it's good that we're... Seriously, what kind of statement? It's good for us to be here. Duh! You get the idiot award there. That's a Mr. Obvious. Thank you for being with us. And then we're going to make tents. We're going to make tents. Isn't that great? They're going to make tents. My response to an encounter with God is to fall back into works. Interesting. Here's what Jesus doesn't even have to say anything because, and a cloud overshadowed them and a voice came out of the cloud saying, Peter, shut up. No, said, no, this is what the voice said. And by the way, this is not the first time that this comment was made, but it's made a little bit different. He said, this is my beloved son. I like that last part. Here's what God is saying. Listen to him. That's so good. That is so, so good. God's saying, guys, sometimes you just need to zip it and listen. Listen to him. And suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Peter's response is like many of ours. I got to do something in this encounter. And again, now, listen to what the voice said. Because remember when Jesus was baptized? How many of you remember when Jesus was baptized? I'm like, you were around when that happened. Not that old pastor. Jeez. You remember when Jesus was baptized and he went into the water and he came out of the water and the Spirit descended like a dove and there was a voice from heaven. Remember what that voice said? The voice said this, "You are my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Well, first of all, what did Jesus do up to that time? He hadn't done mighty works. He hadn't done stuff. He hadn't changed water into wine. He hadn't, you know, done some big, huge sermons or anything. And now the voice is different. Because it's a lot different when I say, "Hey, Bobby, you are wearing a tailor-made jacket." Yes, you are. It's another thing I say, "Hey, Bobby's wearing a tailor-made jacket." Do you see the difference? The first, during the baptism of Jesus, God was talking directly to Jesus. "You are my beloved Son." Now, he's talking to everybody else. Hey. "You are, this is my beloved Son in whom I was." You need to listen to him. Here's what this tells us, gang. There's a lot of voices right now talking a lot of things about who Christ is and what the church is and who God is. You need, please hear me. There is one that is trustworthy. And there's a lot of voices in the wind, as Scripture tells us. It is God who reveals who Christ is. Okay? It's God who reveals who Christ is. He has done this through His Word. He does it through His Spirit. Be very, very careful about this current day and age of deception in which we live that are trying to deceive even the very elect. You got fights in denominations, mainline denominations on theology. You got arguments within the church about who Christ is and what grace truly means. And these are not small issues, gang. These are real issues. And it's Scripture who declares who Christ is. And now here's the greatest thing to me, because I've always sat there. Why in the world of all the people, why didn't you choose Noah? And why didn't you choose, you know, one of the other martyrs? Why did you choose Moses? And why did you choose Elijah. I got on Elisha. He's my son. Okay. Elijah. Why did you choose these two? And all of a sudden it dawned on me. Because they're there, the three of them. Transfigured. Fulfills the law and the prophets. Moses is the lawgiver. And Elijah is the beginning, the representation of the prophets. It's all in Jesus. And for some of us who are trying to look for some other angle or some other way, there is no other way. He was pointing to salvation through Christ alone. Oh, if I just follow the Ten Commandments, I should be okay. Nope. You follow the Ten Commandments, you're going to be led to Christ. Well, if I follow all the promises of God and I try to figure it out in my own intellect, if you follow all the promises of God and try to figure the days and the signs and the times, it's going to lead you to one thing, and His name is Jesus. Jesus is greater than the law and the prophets, and Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ is critical. And this world's perception, and even the world there as Jesus was teaching, their perception of Christ was not accurate. And if our image is skewed, then our understanding of Christ is skewed, then our understanding of what Christ does is skewed. So how can we get our eyes touched? I said for you a little bit ago, I said, hey, what is this picture? And it was a caterpillar. But really, what was it? Go ahead and click it again. That's what it was. I can look at it and I can say and I can guarantee this is what it is. No, it's actually something different. And so sometimes our concept of Christ, I want you to expand your concept of who Christ is to come fully in line with what Scriptures dictate, both the law and the prophets, and they will lead you to who Christ is. And the same is true for us. Because when you get an understanding of who Christ is, you're going to get an understanding of who God has called you to be. There's a transfiguration that happens to all of us when the encounter of grace is that we can become more Christ-like. Sure, doesn't mean we're perfect because we all struggle. Don't think for a second I'm saying some heretical thing. I'm trying to say is we become different. We die and we reflect Christ. And if you settle for something less, I'm troubled that the church has become the church of the good enough. It grieves my spirit that that's what we've lessened ourselves to be. I just want to get in. Do you want to get to the end of your life and have the Father say, well, done. That's it. That's what you did with all of what I gave you. Man, I think we need to light a fire under some of us so that we have a passion when we stand before the King of Kings, and every one of us will, that we hear the Master say, well done, good and faithful servant. And of things in your life that you should be passionate about, sports gives a lot less. Your retirement gets a lot less. Everything should dwarf in comparison, should pale in comparison with the prize of the high calling. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.